Hello, everyone. I'm Henry Balmer, and this is Hawk Talk, a student podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network. We are in Studio Q at North Campus today on April 28th. And on today's show, I will have a special guest who is on the baseball team, and we will talk about baseball, but that'll be later. But let's get started with the men's tennis team, who won 5-2 over Southwest Baptist. And Joseph Restrepo took home GLVC Player of the Week honors for the men's tennis team, as women would lose 0-7 to Southwest Baptist, as Restrepo would have two single wins, one double win, and three total wins. Next on our list, I have the softball team, who played four games this weekend. They had a doubleheader against McKendree and a doubleheader against Maryville. In Maryville, on senior day, they lost 2-4 and 3-10. And in the McKendree game, in the McKendree series, they lost their one game 1-8 and won 7-6 in their other game via a walk-off by Isabella Shields. Now I'd like to talk about women's lacrosse, who lost 4-26 versus Indy. And on their senior day against Lewis, they won 15-12. And Annie Moran highlighted the team as she had 7 goals. And on the topic of women's lacrosse, Amelia Hamm took home QU Hawks Toyota Star of the Week after crushing the single-season point record with 6 goals and 4 assists over 2 games. Amelia also ranks in the top 25 in Division II in 5 different categories. Now on to the men's team, who played against William Jewell for their senior day and won 8-7, which was their first GLVC and conference victory in program history. And that game was headlined by Caleb Hensley with 3 goals and Eli Cohen, who had 2 goals and 2 assists. And back to tennis, as I missed, the women's team played Truman State, where they won 5-2. And another good thing for the tennis team is the men's team has clinched the conference tournament. Big thanks to Joseph Restrepo, as he had the 2 singles and 1 double win as he got GLVC Player of the Week. It was a big help for the team as they would go on to clinch the conference tournament. And now joining me, I have Brandon Pickus, who is a first baseman for the QU baseball team. How are you doing, Brandon?
Good, Henry. How are you?
I'm good. So first I want to talk about is how was senior day? I know you guys had senior day this past Sunday.
Yeah, senior day was a lot of fun. Took pictures. A lot of people's families showed up for the game. Just not the result to the end of the game as we would have hoped for.
And what do you think could have went a little different for you guys to pull off that win?
offense had some really big innings, but Maryville also had some really big innings. We struggled on both sides of the balls during certain innings, and I think if you can minimize some runs in certain innings, we come out with a win.
Good. All right. Well, first, let's talk about game one. It was a 14-inning game. You guys came out on top. I mean, what did it take for you guys to take that one home?
I believe we started the game with 2 runs, and then Maryville put 5 runs up, and we came back, and then we went into extra innings, and gosh, it was long. It was zeros for about 5 innings, I believe, and then they scored 3. We scored 3. They went out and we put up Maryville put up a 0, and Isaiah Fudge came home a hero for that day.
All right. Now let's talk about the second game. I know you talked about how the offense was hot on senior day, and they seemed to be pretty hot on Friday, as they scored, 8-9 runs? What do you think happened in the doubleheader where, I mean, looked like you guys were facing some very good arms, but the offense kind of went cold those 2 games?
Yeah, we struggled a bit on Saturday. I think the first game was 2-0. The second game was 1-0. And those pitchers were pretty good, probably one of the best pitchers we've seen. And I believe that was only the third and fourth time our offense has been shut out this year. you know, a lot of hard hit balls that just were caught or some things that didn't go our way. And sometimes that's just how baseball goes.
Yep, yep, yep. So you guys have Truman State this week. I know you guys are right now sitting at the eighth spot for the conference.
Yeah, we have a three-way tie for sixth.
What are you looking, I guess, what are you guys looking to do? Obviously, at Truman State, you guys want to go win, but what do you think the formula is for that?
We got to come out with a chip on our shoulder right now. We're on the hot seat and not even making the conference tournament, which is something this program hasn't done in a while, and they've been always in the running. And we got to go out and play like it's our last. You know, hopefully we can come out with a sweep. That's best case scenario, but we need to go in and win at least three, and both sides of the ball needs to be somewhat dominant and needs to show up and hopefully have a good weekend.
All right, as a fellow, I've also played baseball before, so I know once you get in the playoffs, I mean, everything can happen. I mean, I'm a Cardinal fan. They made the wild card in 2011. Nobody really thought anything of it, and I mean, look now. That was their 11th World Series championship. I mean, all you need is that one shot to get in there, and you can cause havoc.
You know, this team has got a lot of potential. We have a lot of great and talented players. You know, just by our record, it obviously hasn't shown as much as we've liked. But hopefully we can get hot at the right time. We haven't really had as much of a stretch this season where we've gone and, you know, dominated games or gone on a little bit of a streak. And from a team's perspective, we're hoping that this weekend will give us a charge to go into this tournament and go out and hopefully give us a ring.
So, Brandon, I know you talked a lot about your team has a lot of potential. And, I mean, you can kind of see it as you look at some of the games that you guys have played. For instance, you guys have played the University of Tampa, where in two of those games you guys got shut out. But if you really watch the game, you can kind of tell that, like, even though one game was 8-0 and one was 4-0, you guys were in both of those games the whole way. And you guys did take that game two against them, which is Tampa's only loss at home to this day, as they are 26-1 at home. So I know you talked about potential, but I wanted to get your insight on, like, why you think that you guys have not, like, exceeded expectations or have kind of struggled a little bit this season.
You know, we played a strong, hard schedule. Tampa is probably one of our hardest matchups, and going in as an underdog, we were excited. And that second game was pretty exciting for us, like going in and beating the number one ranked team at the time.
Yeah.
You know, we played Lewis, and they, I believe they were ranked 17th when we played them. And game one, we went out and scored 17 runs, so there's zero. And we have games of life where both sides of the ball were just dominant. And we know that's something we can go do and we would like to on a regular basis, but that's just not how baseball works all the time. You know, our offense is really good. Matt Mateo is probably one of our best hitters right now, him or Ben Dolliff. And no matter what, who you put in our lineup, they're going to go out and perform. And, you know, we've had some cold times on both sides of pitching, and defense has struggled a little bit, and offense has struggled, but we're really trying to find a way where we can go out to a game and have every side of the ball go out and perform the way we know how and the way we practice and the way we can do it.
Yeah, and I know you talked about Tampa, so did I. Also, I mean, you guys played Central Missouri, and I mean, you guys lost both of those games, but I mean, you put up 12 in the first game, and I mean, off of a I believe you told me Oklahoma State, like he went to Oklahoma State before coming here, or Central Missouri, which, I mean, I was at the game, and it looked like he looked like a great pitcher, and, I mean, you guys kind of hopped on him real quick and just got him out of there quickly. And same with the following series, they're the two-game series you guys played against Davenport, who has been ranked all season, especially. And, I mean, you guys competed with them. I mean, just a few things didn't go your way, and that's why you lost. But, I mean, you competed with the number one team, the number three team. I mean, you guys, I can see that you guys definitely have the potential to go somewhere. You just got to, I think, seems like you guys just got to put it all together at one time.
Yeah, the the Central Missouri weekend, and also we played Davenport. That was a big weekend for us, hosting both of those highly ranked teams. And offense showed out on, I think, all four games, if I'm not mistaken, especially game one against Central Missouri. Yeah, their starter was a transfer from Oklahoma State, and we our offense got after him, and our offense has been really good at getting to the bullpen and getting those Division I talented arms out of the game. And we have shown really good strengths in games like that, and then we've gone cold, and we got hot, and we got cold, but we need to find a better way to minimize bigger innings at points.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, all you got to do is get in and get hot, because, I mean, it kind of shows last year. As last year, you guys kind of had a very similar season to this year, where you kind of were teetering around 500 all year long, and then you went on a little bit of a hot streak towards the end of the season, and then you brought that into the conference tournament. I mean, you guys went 3-0 to the championship, and then, I mean, things didn't go your way in the championship, but, like, that just kind of shows that once you get in, I mean, it's, you can go as far as you want. It just kind of depends on how you guys all come around together as a team and, I guess, fight.
Yeah, we have our team is really close. We have a great culture. Last year is definitely very comparable to this year. We struggled early on, and then the last three weekends, I think we won 11 of our last 12 going into the conference tournament. We were four-seeded and walked off the first game, won in extra innings, and then walked off the third game going into the championship. And this year we're hoping for another hot streak for us, going into this weekend, winning and getting into the tournament and getting hot. But hopefully we want to go farther than we did last year. I think last year was the first time in 14 years this program hasn't made a regional, and we want to start that tradition again.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, thank you very much for your insight on baseball and how the team is doing and how you guys think you're going to shape up here coming towards the end of the season. I wanted to do something a little more fun, I guess. The NFL draft just happened, and I know you're not a huge football fan, but I kind of wanted to talk to you about just, like, what were your thoughts? Like, did you watch any of the draft? Like, do you have a team that you root for or whatever, something like that?
Personally, not really. My family is big Steelers fans. So I watched it a little bit. You know, just, there's a lot of names on there that you know just from watching college football. I watch a lot of college football, or even NFL with my roommates and my friends. So watching it was definitely exciting. I saw Shadur didn't go to the fifth round. But, yeah, the Steelers ended up getting Will Howard and Caleb Johnson from Iowa, and I thought those were two huge pickups for that team.
Yeah, you talked about Shadur, and I saw on Twitter and Instagram, I saw a post about the Falcons. At the time, I didn't know it was the Falcons defensive coordinator's son, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. But he was caught fake calling Shadur Sanders as the Saints GM, prank calling him, saying that they were going to draft him in the next pick, which he didn't get drafted by them, but... What do you think, like, do you think, what do you think of that situation?
I think it's just not right. And I also saw on social media that he got a separate phone just for the general managers of the NFL teams. So obviously it had to come from someone inside of a team for them to get that phone number. I think at the time it's definitely like a situation you think is pretty funny. But at the end of it, there's going to be repercussions for that. I believe he was in college, so that college kid. and hopefully not for his father who works inside.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I know Shedeur Sanders and a lot of people lie is not like a big, not a lot of people are fans of him. I mean, there's the fans and then there's the critics because he's a big ego guy. He likes to flash around all his stuff he's got. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm the biggest fan of him, but I respect him. I mean, he's just kind of building his brand, and that's kind of how, like, sports are run this nowadays, especially, like, when he was in college with the NIL. Like, you kind of want to do something to make yourself pop, and he kind of did that. And, I mean, I obviously there has to be something for the reason that he dropped to the fifth round, especially as a lot of analysts had him as a, for sure, first-rounder, maybe even a top 15 pick. I mean, I just don't think that what that kid did was really – I mean, it's not fair. I mean, just because even if the kid didn't like Shedeur Sanders, it's not fair to, I guess, parade his dream around and make him think that his dream is about to come true, and then all of a sudden it's just a prank, and now he's sitting there. I don't know his reaction, but he could have been devastated. He might have thought that, I mean, he was getting drafted, and what if he never got drafted? I mean, that would just kind of tear that guy apart.
Yes. Yeah, I agree, Henry. Especially nowadays with NIL, you know, that kid's got, I would say, millions of dollars. And
does help his dad is Deion Sanders.
Yeah, it does help. Prime time. that whole family's got money. And, you know, Shedeur's just a kid. I don't know if he's 21 or 22. But at the same time, he's still the same age as all of us are here at Quincy. And it's not right what the kid did. You know, he's still going for a dream to play NFL, Major League Football. And, you know, to tear someone down, even if he is a big name and his brand is already so big, it's and he has commercials with Gatorade, like, it's still never the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, it's the same with that kid. Like, what if, let's say he was a baseball player and someone prank called him, like, yep, you're getting drafted with this next pick, and he doesn't get drafted. I mean, it's just kind of, it's not nice or fair to do something that to someone, no matter if you like them, hate them, love them. It's just not a very, very nice thing to do, to try to rip someone's parts or dreams apart.
Yeah, especially at that level. I totally agree.
Yeah. Well, back, let's go to a little brighter side. I know you said you watched a little bit of the draft. What would you say that anything in the draft kind of shocked you? Like any picks or guys not getting picked or whatever?
I would say definitely some QBs went a lot lower than I thought. Like Will Howard, for instance. I thought he was really good when watching Ohio State throughout this year. You know, I didn't watch every game, but, you know, I watched. Also, in the first round, I think there was a lot of offensive linemen that were took. And I don't think years past that was really a big position that was picked in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I think people might just be looking. I mean, the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. And, I mean, they have one of the best O-lines in the league. So maybe they're starting with that. Start with build the trenches and then get a guy back there to kind of lead your team, whereas – But as, like, for me, my favorite part of the draft, obviously, I'm a Giants fan, so go Big Blue. But I loved the Giants trading up to get Jackson Dart. Honestly, I thought we might take Shedeur at the same time. I mean, they're both great football players, great quarterbacks, know how to sling the rock. But also getting Abdul Carter, I mean, the Giants might have the scariest front line of in the NFL. I mean, you got Brian Burns, Abdul Carter, Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence. We also got a very good D tackle in the third round. But, I mean, it's not going to be fun for opposing quarterbacks to have to go against them and then to trade up in the late first round after and not really giving up that much. I mean, they gave up a second round and, like, maybe a third next year. But, I mean, I thought that was just a go and get your guy. It just kind of shows what kind of, like, where the Giants are trying to go as they have been a bottom team in the NFL for the past few years. It kind of just shows that they're ready to go start winning, and they've went and got their guys, and they believe in those guys are going to be the future of the team.
Yeah, the Giants are a building program, as you always say. And
can't forget about Scat Pack, Cam Scataboo in the fifth.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah.
Fourth, maybe.
That's a huge pick.
I mean, the guy's a bowling ball, wrecking ball. He just bounces off everybody.
Yeah, doesn't he run into telephone poles for fun?
he might. I mean, I did see a post about that, but I don't know if that's real true.
Yeah, the Giants were definitely one of the highest grade teams to come out of that draft. Speaking of football, didn't the KU Hawks football team play a spring scrimmage this weekend?
Yeah, they did. They had their I believe it was their last practice of the spring as school is starting to end, and it wasn't like a full on scrimmage where it's just like whatever 30 minutes like offense for first defense. It was more like drills. Like they did some 7-on-7 stuff, like quarterback and then just a wide receiver and cornerback doing like 1-on-1s. I mean, it was actually really fun to watch. Like I'm good buddies with one of the guys on the team. He's my best friend. So it was just kind of a fun thing to watch. I mean, just a different like outlook at football instead of just 11-on-11 like every time. I mean, it was just kind of fun to watch. I mean, see those guys do their thing in a little more controlled environment. I mean, it was kind of just you got to really focus on like players instead of just like, I mean, when you watch a full-on football game, like if you're there to root on a linebacker, a cornerback, or a D-end or whatever, O-lineman, it's kind of hard to focus on what they're doing when there's all 11 people on the field. But when it's kind of like broke down like that, you kind of just get to, I would say you get to focus on the guy you're there to watch. And I thought it was a fun experience. I mean, just to see all them guys having fun out there, just working hard and getting ready for this upcoming season, as I know they have to, they do a practice in the summer to get ready for the season, which I think is, if you want to go far in football, I mean, you got to be working all the time. You can take some off days, but off months, that's where you really get in trouble. I mean, that's where you kind of get lazy. And then when it comes to play, I mean, you're kind of, a lot more teams are fresh and ready than you are.
Yeah, that they are definitely an upcoming program, and I'm excited to watch them this fall. You know, I'm coming back for a grad year, and can't wait to go to some of their games. You told me it was exciting to go watch them in the spring game they just had, and you know, I'm excited with the obviously the new coach was the first year was this year or well 2024, but I'm excited to go see what the KU Hawks football team does this year.
Yeah, it should be fun, especially coming off, I believe, was that their back-to-back winning seasons in a long time? I can't remember. I think last year was their first winning season, and then they won this year. But also talking about a new coach, how you talked about this, Kilday is going to be second year. Kurt Warner's son is, I don't know if you know this, he's the new offensive coordinator for the team. I believe his name is Cade Warner, and I think that's pretty cool just because, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a huge Kurt Warner fan. I really do like Kurt Warner. I mean, I'm from St. Louis, so, like, with the Rams, I mean, he brought us our Super Bowl. I wasn't alive when that happened, or if I was, I don't remember. I think it was 01, so, yeah, I wasn't alive, but I was just really fun, like, to kind of hear, like NFL royalty has and family is now at Quincy. I mean, obviously he's going to have a good football mind. I mean, he has a great person to talk to it about. Obviously his dad who has won a Super Bowl, but I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. And I'm excited to see what they bring to the table next year with this new shaped offense and defense and second year under a new coach.
Yeah. What are the chances you bring NFL royalty to Quincy? I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited. It seems like Kilday's really making strides up this program and up this team. And hopefully Cade Warner can really put this team on the map and send them in a good direction.
All right. I know we got a little caught up on football there, but as you are a baseball player, I would like to get back to some baseball stuff. With the MLB almost now a month into the season, I wanted to I wanted us to talk about like who we kind of like what our predictions are for the end of the season, maybe like who's going to win their divisions, who's going to play in the World Series, who's going to win it, and maybe some of the like the award winners.
Man, I'm a big Cardinals fan, but
you want to split this up like you can do AL, I'll do NL or whatever.
Yeah, you want me to do NL?
Your choice. You're the guest.
I'll do NL. That's NL? Easier for okay. me. I'm a huge Cardinals fan, but I have no faith that a Cardinals fan will win a single award or a player will win a single award. Man, the Cubs have been looking pretty solid, haven't they?
Yeah, Kyle Tucker. I mean, that guy's been on a tear.
Yeah, and obviously the Dodgers are a dream team. I would say obviously the Dodgers are definitely a high pick to be in the playoffs, and they're definitely probably a 100-win team. 100-win
team, yeah.
I don't see the Cardinals doing much. I can see the Cubs winning the division for the NL Central. What are the Dodgers in the West?
West. Them and the Padres are kind of like, I mean, it's month in, but those guys look like the front runners.
Yeah, the Padres definitely, they've been in the playoffs for the last few years. I could definitely see them making a run, and then you always have the Phillies that have always been in contention for a World Series title the last few years. I would say, I don't know if Bryce Harper's having a really good year or Shohei. I would say right now Kyle Tucker's probably a front runner for MVP, maybe. I don't know. I don't really know the pitching statistics. I know Yamamoto.
He has a sub-1 ERA, which is crazy. But, I mean, the Dodgers, I mean, as a Cardinal fan as well, I don't think they're going to go anywhere this year. But, the Dodgers, I think the MLB needs to put a cap. Like, you can't have, like, all their starters are just their number ones on any other team. Like, you got Yamamoto right now, Cy Young front runner. You got Tyler Glasnow, who I believe has won a Cy Young, and then you got Blake Snell, who has won two. I mean,
didn't Dustin May just come back?
Yeah, and Dustin May, that guy throws like 100-mile-per-hour sinkers for 7 innings straight. Like, what are you? I mean, and then you got Clayton Kershaw, who's already a shoo-in to the Hall of Fame, and what's his name? Roki Sasaki, the 21-year-old who throws 100. I mean, it's just crazy. And then you got Otani, Betts, Freeman. I mean, Tommy Edman. Dark horse ex-Cardinal. For MVP, ex-Cardinal legend. Yeah, I love Tommy Edman. Hate that we traded him away. I understood it at the time. But Cardinal legend Tommy Edman, he might be a dark horse for the MVP as well.
Yeah, he's been having a good year. Definitely bites us in the butt from trading him away at the trade deadline.
Yeah, it kind of made sense to trade him. He was hurt the whole year. But at the same time, it's like the guy is so good. He's a good defender. And, I mean, as we can see now, I guess he wants to hit for pop. I mean, he's like leading the ML, tied for the lead in the National League for homers.
It's like the same thing with Randy Rosarena at the time. Yeah. And what's the dude on the Rangers' name?
Adolis Garcia.
Adolis Garcia.
And Sandy Alcantara, the guy who leaves the Cardinals and gets called up. Yep, he's a Cy Young winner. It must be something wrong with the Cardinals. But also in the NL West, though, how about Eugenio Suarez with the 4-for-4, four homers? Was that Sunday night or maybe Saturday night?
I think it was Saturday. Yeah, I saw that.
That's crazy. I mean, that's a legacy game. Yeah. I mean, how do you?
You might as well retire after that game.
Yeah, I mean, how do you pitch to a guy that's 4-for-4 with four homers? I mean,
you intentionally might as well walk him.
You either intentionally walk him or might as well just throw it down the middle and say, yeah, well,
give him
he's going to hit one.
Yeah.
So you talked about the NL. I'll talk about the AL. For the AL East, I obviously probably the Yankees will win it.
Judge looks like he's been on a tear.
Yeah, I mean, the guy just doesn't get bad. I mean, he's like, one year it's 50 home runs, one year it's 45, and people are like, well, down numbers, but 45 home runs is a lot. It does help he's got a little bit of a short porch there at Yankee Stadium, the guy's like 6'7" giant. The guy crushes baseballs. So they would probably, I would have to say is they're probably my pick. Or the Orioles. The Orioles are a very young team. I like to watch them.
They look good.
Yeah.
They look good.
I would like the Red Sox to make it. I like the Red Sox, especially after watching that documentary about them. It was pretty interesting. It just kind of shows like what goes through like the mind and how the life of being an MLB star is. Like, and what are some of the struggles? Like, those guys are human beings. I know they play baseball professionally, but, like, they're human beings just like us.
Yeah, definitely. That documentary was really cool. It definitely makes you not just a baseball fan, but it gives you a perspective on the players, and it makes you a fan of how those players do a daily life, and it makes you appreciate that.
A fan of the person, yeah. Not just the player.
It makes you appreciate what they do for us to be entertained and watch.
Yeah. AL Central, I mean, I don't really know. AL Central's kind of boring. It's kind of like the NL Central. I wouldn't watch the NL Central if the Cardinals weren't my favorite team. But, like, I know the Tigers and Guardians made it last year. Obviously, those are probably the two easy picks. I mean, the Guardians are, they're just a overlooked team. I mean, they don't spend a lot of money in the offseason. They don't make a lot of big moves. They just kind of go out there and play, and it gets done for them. I mean, they made it to the ALCS last year, I believe, or I think that's who the Yankees played.
They beat Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit's a bunch of young, hungry players, which is fun to watch. But, I think I'm going to go with the Guardians for them winning their division. I think the Tigers maybe one or two more years away from actually coming back and taking over that division. And then on the AL West side, obviously the easy pick is probably like the Astros or the Texas Rangers. I'm trying to think who else. Mariners are in there, Angels and Athletics. I mean,
yeah, that's a boring.
It's kind of boring as well. I mean, I'm happy to see Mike Trout has been healthy to start the season. I mean, he was my favorite baseball player in growing up, and I mean, he's just when he's healthy. I mean, he's one of the best players on the field. I mean,
yeah, the Angels. Well, they came to St. Louis for a few games, and that was fun to watch. But I think St. Louis lost the series, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, they got some young players though that are exciting. Like they started off the year pretty well. Like considering, I didn't think they were going to be good. I mean, like, who do they have? Mike Trout and
couldn't tell you anyone else.
Nobody. But I mean, I've seen what's his name, the second baseman, Kyron Paris. He was like first month hit like 370 or something with like six or seven home runs. I mean, really? I think, yeah, that team is going to be fun to watch. I don't think they will make the playoffs. I don't think they're there yet. But I think they'll be fun to watch. They could make a run, and maybe I think they'll fall a little short. But I don't know. Young, hungry teams are fun to watch. That's kind of like what I like from the Cardinals. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. They're going to probably be under 500, but they got some young guys like Jordan Walker and like Victor Scott and Mason Wynn who are just fun to watch.
Brendan Donovan.
I mean, Donnie's not young, the guy just hits. I mean, that's what he does. He doesn't matter where it's at, he's hitting it.
Yeah, like the AL Central you were talking about, it is definitely a boring, division.
I mean, there's some star players in the NL Central just like everywhere. You got Kyle Tucker, Arenado, Ellie De La Cruz. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Ellie De La Cruz. I think he's really good. I think he's a little overrated, though. I think people look at him as he's the best shortstop to ever touch the field already, where he's only played like 2 years. But the guy is electric to watch. I mean, the guy, he can hit a normal single for somebody, and getting a double. Or what did he do last year? Didn't he steal second, third, and home all in one in a round trip?
Probably.
I mean, the guy just is electric to watch. But back to the AL.
I don't know. I don't see the Astros winning that division.
Yeah, I'm.
I think the Mariners might sneak it out.
Yeah, I think the Mariners or the Rangers. The Rangers. I mean, they got star players like Semien and Corey Seager, and it's like Jacob DeGrom has come back. I mean,
they're just not as hot as they were when they were in the World Series.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, we're 1 month in. It's not that. Like, you can't base. I mean, you can base some stuff off of it, but it's not really. I mean,
like Wyatt Langford, dog.
Yeah, dog. Wyatt Langford, dog. I think I'm gonna go with the Rangers. I think they're gonna pull it out. I mean, it's a very like underwhelming division, I would say, and I think they got the most stars on their team this year. It's either them or the Mariners for me, but I do not see whoever makes it in the playoffs that year. If it's not the Rangers, I don't see any of them really going far. If the Rangers make it, they could maybe make a World Series push, but like Astros or Mariners, I think the Mariners got some stars, but I just don't think they're – like they got Julio and a Rosarena, but and Cal Raleigh. He's pretty. Yeah. He's got the torpedo back now. He's hitting some pumps. But yeah, I don't think those guys are enough to push him across. I mean, they got a young pitching staff, but I don't think they're there yet. But so I'm gonna go with the Rangers. What are you thinking?
Rangers or Seattle? I mean, Rangers definitely more experienced and older group than probably any team in that division. But, you know, the Astros look piss poor, man. I'm just going to say it. Altuve in left field is just a brutal move.
Oh, my God. The guy looks like he's never played baseball in his life out there. And
you know, that guy just needs to retire. You know, he's just going to be the shortest MLB player to be in the Hall of Fame, and that's it.
Yeah, you know? Speaking of Hall of Fame, Jose Altuve, I was talking to this with a friend. Do you think he should be in the Hall of Fame? I mean, he has the career to be a Hall of Famer, but do you believe after, I know people said that he wasn't a part of the cheating, but as the team captain of that team, it doesn't matter. He should be the one to say, we're not doing this. This is not right. This is not ethical. I don't want to win like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, yeah, they probably should have got their World Series taken away from him. But I look at it at the same way as Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame, and Shohei Ohtani, well, the interpreter got caught, but what are the chances that he was also betting at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a tough thing to, like, judge. I mean,
you just know Shohei is going to be in the Hall of Fame. The stuff he's been doing, and he's only been in the league for maybe 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, he would have to just, like, stop playing baseball. I mean, I hate to say it. He's really good. I mean, he probably will be a Hall of Famer. If he were to stop now, there's no way he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. I mean, he's had a good career to start his career, but not just yet. But like you said, Pete Rose, I mean, Pete Rose did gamble on his own team, but at the same time, that didn't affect
the result.
It didn't affect the result.
Yeah.
But I see where you're going with that. I understand, like, your point.
Yeah, you just got to see what the commission, you know, I think they'll allow him into the Hall of Fame. They'll just give him a pass. Well, what is your World Series prediction? What are the two teams and who you got winning?
I said Yankees. Obviously the boring one. Like, it could happen. It's like Yankees.
Dodgers.
I don't think the Yankees make it, especially Garrett Cole out for the season. I don't know if their pitching staff is deep enough. Like, they're going to have guys come back, but it's like, I feel like to really make a playoff push, you need that, like, number one guy who, you know, like, every time he's going to go out there, he's going to give you a 6 to 7 innings solid, where maybe a 1 to 2 run ball, and give you a chance in every game, where I just don't see anybody in their staff giving them that. So I'm honestly, I don't really know. Like,
I'm hoping to see the Red Sox.
The Red Sox would be cool. I just don't know. I kind of want to say the Guardians. I kind of like I like me some Jose Ramirez, switch hitter. I mean, he's a dog. And they got, or they did last year, Lane Thomas, Cardinal legend, by the way. I mean, how can you not root for a guy like Lane Thomas? The guy rakes. Yeah,
there's another Cardinal guy that's performing for someone else but the Cardinals.
Yeah, so I don't really think the Guardians will make it, but I'm going to go with Guardians versus Padres. The Padres are going to make the World Series. I think probably in that matchup the Padres win it, but I would want the Guardians to win in that matchup, but I think the firepower of just Fernando Tatis, they just got more stars on that team, like Manny Machado, Luis Arraez. I mean, the Crone Zone, Jake Cronenworth. I mean, dog. But yeah, that's what I would say.
You know, I'm gonna go sneaky here, and if Parker Limonsoul is watching, he will be very happy with my choice. And I'm gonna say the Cubs will be the NL team in the World Series. You know, I think
get off the podcast.
you know, I hate the Cubs, but I'm gonna say it. They dogged the Dodgers. We'll say, like, they just went out and said, we are better.
Yeah, I mean, they are good, but
and, you know, I don't know.
I would never tell a Cubs fan that.
No. But yeah, I think the Cubs have a really tight knit group that's gonna go to the World Series. Now, I don't think they will win. I think they will be playing, you know, the Guardians is such a good choice. I hope and pray for the Red Sox, and I hope and pray that the Red Sox play them and win. But I do think it'd be really cool if it was Cubs-Guardians, and it would be like 2016 all over again. It's just the Guardians come out on top.
I like that. I like that. Getting the Cubs fans' hopes up just so they can lose in the World Series.
Just to crush them, yeah.
Well, unless you have anything else, I think that's all we got for today.
Nope. We'll see you next week.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me, Brandon.
Thank you, Henry.
And thank you all for listening to Hawk Talk. I'm Henry Ballmer, and this has been a production of the Q Media Podcast Network.